Hi, thank you for visiting the Remnant Church podcast. We hope that this message will be seed planted in the fertile ground of your heart, watered a seed that has already been planted, and that the Lord of the harvest will bring the increase. May it take roots downward and fruit grow upward and outward. Let us join the message already in progress.
I'm always honored to speak, but I don't know about y'all, but this summer has just been so busy. Anybody been busy this summer? I feel like me and Cassidy have been going nonstop. Jack and Maggie have kept us on our toes. I call them the turd and the gremlin. I'll let you figure out which one that is. But in all seriousness, they are the best. But we always need prayer. Because it's not just one getting into trouble, it's two getting into trouble now. But I'm excited. 2 weeks ago, Andrew showed me, walked me through the new church building, and wow, it's going to be amazing. I'm excited about it, and I can't wait to be in that new building, but I told him, I said, I'm sad to leave this place. I'm sad. There's been a lot of memories. God's moved in this building, and it's gonna be sad. But anyways, I went back and forth this week about three different times, three different messages that I wanted to speak, and I worked on when Jack was putting Jack to bed, I was sitting there waiting for him to fall asleep, and I was working on a message and worked it all out, and I was like, this is it, this is what I'm going to speak about, and then it was like God kept leading me to the message that I'm actually going to speak this morning. But if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of James. Turn with me to the book of James, and I want to read a few verses from James today, and I'm going to be in James chapter 1. And I've got some other verses that I'm gonna reference to, point you to today, but I'm going to be in James chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse number 2. It says this, it says, consider it pure joy. Everybody say pure joy. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And I love that phrase because mature and complete, not lacking anything. And I want to take a few minutes this morning and I want to preach to you from a subject, and the title is called The Purpose in Your Pain. Don't waste it. The Purpose in Your Pain, don't waste it. We're going to pray one more time. And I always like to read the Word of God, and then I like to pray. Because there is a lot of people here this morning with different stories, different types of stories, different types of scenarios, different types of circumstances that you're walking through. And we're all going through these different levels of pain or struggles or trials in our lives. And there is no way that we could speak to every individual need. That's why we need God. That's why we need Him. And because God is going to meet us where we are. You could be 7 years old or you can be 70 years old, yet somehow God can speak right to the middle of your situation. So let's pray. Let's believe that as we pray, the supernatural is going to take place. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. Father God, I praise you. God, you are so good. God, I pray, God, that you do what I can't do. God, more of you, less of me. God, I pray that this message touches people, changes people's lives. God, I thank you. God, I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. I think one thing that I've noticed in my 33 years of walking this earth, my years of doing this faith journey, following Jesus, is that God likes to speak to us in various ways, in various ways. And I think that today I want to take a moment because I really think that it's important, especially with the climate that we are living in, especially with the culture that we're in today. And I want to teach you this morning that so often God, He likes to speak to us through suffering. So often, God, one of the great ways that he will communicate in your life is through the pain of this world. Now, I understand that that is not a popular, when I come around this subject, it's not a popular subject to talk about. It's not a fun subject to talk about. I don't know a lot of people who are going, oh my goodness, I love to suffer for Jesus. In fact, if you're anything like me, I hate pain. Like, I try to avoid pain. I'm not into pain. Cassidy, she, every now and then, she likes to take tweezers and pluck my eyebrows. And I'm not gonna lie, I scream, I moan and groan. I'm like, you have no idea what this feels like. She's like, yeah, try me. Birth two kids, heart transplant later, and I'm like, it hurts. But I'm the guy who's gotten up early in the morning, got some clothes on, got ready to go work out, and then I'm like, nah, it's too much pain. I'm 33 years old, and if I go to the doctor, and at the end of my diagnosis, they give me two options, and they say, hey, you want the pill or you want the shot? And I'm like, yo, like, how much longer am I going to feel this way? And they're like, 2 more weeks with the pill. I'm like, give me the pill. Give me the pill. I don't want a shot. We don't like pain. We avoid pain. Yet the truth of the matter is that what you will discover about God is that God, he will use pain to speak to you. He will use pain to make sure that you realize that he is with you. There's this false teaching that has been going around for many, many years, especially in America, that the teaching is that if you follow Jesus, you're going to live a pain-free life. But nowhere in the scriptures do we encounter that. In fact, it doesn't make very much sense because, I mean, following Jesus doesn't mean that you're going to live a pain-free life. How do we know that? Because there are Christians right now today that are being persecuted in the Middle East for following Jesus. There's people in Africa right now, Christians, that have prayed the same prayer you've prayed. They believe the same way you believe, but yet they're starving and they're dying for lack of sanitation. Tell that to that person, that just because you follow Jesus, there won't be any more suffering. And maybe you don't even need a modern day example. How about this? How about Jesus Christ? The Word made flesh, and they nailed him to a tree, and he died. How about every one of his followers that were immediate followers, disciples? They all died a martyr's death. You can't tell me that following Jesus means that you will escape suffering. No, God does not promise you a problem-free life that once you start following him, that you're going to escape suffering. Instead, the gospel promises us that we will discover joy even in the midst of our suffering. And I want to talk to you today from the subject, the purpose in your pain, don't waste it. Why? Because pain is inevitable. But progress, that's optional. And you're going to have to get a revelation around this concept of pain, that it's not going anywhere. Ever since the fall of man, ever since sin entered the equation, there has been this thing called pain. And we cannot escape it. Every one of us in our lives, we will face different levels of pain in different seasons of our life. But the good news is that many times one of the clearest ways that God will speak to you is through pain. It's funny because we're all avoiding pain. I mean, most of us are if you're sane and not weird. But like pain, it has its benefits. Like, there are a lot of benefits to pain. We could talk about it. Pain, one thing that it does is it warns us. A few years ago, Cassidy woke up early in the morning screaming in pain. Long story short, we get her to the ER, and they had to do emergency surgery because she was internally bleeding. Like, and she would have never knew if the pain didn't alarm her or warn her. And so often pain, it lets you know, yo, the stove is hot. Move your hand. Get your hand off. So often we find ourselves in these moments that if there wasn't pain, we would continue down on a reckless path, and there's no telling what would happen to us. Pain, it warns us, but pain, it also teaches us. C.S. Lewis says it this way in his book called The Problem with Pain. He says, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. So often, it's only when you get in the valley that you discover who God is. And I think many ways, this is what James, the brother of Jesus, is writing to you and I in this scripture. This book, James, it's one of the earliest manuscripts in the New Testament. James, I always think it needs to be noted that, yeah, he was a follower and a disciple of the Lord Jesus, but one thing that helps me realize that Jesus really was God is because James is his brother. Like, I think it would take a whole lot of convincing if you were my brother that you were God. Man, I love you, but nah, no way. I saw you get in trouble from mom. No. James calls himself a servant of Jesus, and it's his brother. And James is writing to the Jews that are being persecuted. And they are looking for new opportunities to run away from the persecution. And they are running and they are trying to avoid the pain and the suffering. And as he starts his letter, which is one of the most practical letters in all of the entire New Testament, he simply says this. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. Pure joy? The Message translation says a sheer gift. That's radical for me. Like, I don't do that. I don't go, oh, yay, I lost my job. What a gift. Like, what? Like, oh, my goodness, my friend just lied about me. Yay, pure joy. No. Pure joy, like for me, pure joy comes around a few things. Eating. Sports. I would say eating again. The Jaguars winning the Super Bowl, praise God, never going to happen. But at least I'm not a Cowboys fan. But I don't consider pain pure joy. I don't consider trials a sheer gift. Your pain, yet pain is a teacher. Because what James is saying is he's saying, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. Because we know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. See, if you don't face pain, you'll never ever become a person who has perseverance. And if you don't develop perseverance, the scripture says that you will not be mature and you will not be complete and you will be lacking something. Now, I got to be very, very honest with you. I know a lot of good people. I know a lot of great people. I know a lot of great Christian people. Yet just because they're good, just because they're great, just because they're Christian, doesn't mean that they are complete. Because I meet a lot of people that have not discovered the art of perseverance. They have not discovered the virtue of the discipline of persevering through the pain. That anytime trouble comes, anytime heartache comes, anytime disappointment hits their life, rather than face it and walk through it, they quit, they back down, and they waste their pain. Pain has a purpose. And you have to make a decision today. Don't let your pain define you, but let your pain refine you. And this idea of being defined by our pain, you've met people like this. People go through something that was supposed to just be a season in their life, but instead of it being a season in their life, it dictates their entire life.
You've met people that instead of getting better, they just got bitter because of the pain. And before you know it, their entire identity is wrapped around this issue. It's wrapped around this moment of heartache, this moment of disappointment. And you know people, they didn't just experience a divorce and walk through it. No, it holds them back from ever stepping into a new relationship. You know people like this. Instead of forgiving, instead of rising back up, instead of being the friend that they are looking for, they isolate and they back down. You meet people that their dreams never come to pass, and because their dreams never come to pass, they just are now critical of everybody else who goes after their dreams. And the list just goes on and on and on. And you could come up with scenario, more and more scenarios. And what it is that people, they went through pain. And instead of letting pain refine them, they're letting pain define them. And I want to encourage you that so often it's in our pain that God shouts at us. It's so often in our pain that God directs us and He warns us and He teaches us. It's in our pain that we discover that He is a good, good Father, that He's never failed anyone. Why is He going to start with you? Don't go through it. Grow through it. I don't want to just go through the pain. I want to grow through the pain. God, what are you teaching me in this moment? The way you waste your pain is simply by quitting. Simply by backing down. Simply by giving up. Simply by just throwing in the towel. And today I want to implore you, there is purpose in your pain. Don't waste it. And I think that it's in our pain that God, He shouts at us. And I want to show you three things, if you're taking notes today, three things that I think God shouts at us, or three things that I think will produce in your life. The first thing I want you to write down, if you're writing these notes, bigger mansion into heaven if you write notes, is that pain, it will purify your priorities. This word refined, the word refine, it means to bring to a fine or pure state, free from impurities. So typically when the word refined is used, it's typically used when it comes to this process of metals. And it talks about refining the metal. And the way that metal is refined is it has to go through the fire. And the fire, it burns away any impurity, leaving the metal in its purest form. I hope you're catching what I'm throwing down this morning. I think when James is writing to us, he's saying, consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, when you have these trials and when you have these tribulations and when you face pain. And the reason why he is saying, consider it pure joy, he's saying those trials, they feel like fire. Yet it's only in fire where you can be refined. It's only in fire where you can get to your purest form, where you can come to a place of completion. See, what does it mean to be mature in the Lord? I feel like that's a loaded concept because y'all probably like, you're not mature. See you with the youth. am I mature? No. Are you mature? Probably. But how do we know if we're mature? I think a simple way of looking at that the idea of maturity is that maturity in the Lord is when you have given up every false sense of security. I don't know about you, but I only have false senses of security all around me. And they make me feel good. They're comfortable. They help me. It feels nice. Let me just go through it. Money in the bank account. It feels good. Having a job that pays your benefits, that feels right. Being blessed with a spouse to go on this journey with, man, that feels great. Having children, my God, we waited 3 years to have Jack, and he's here, and he's wrecking havoc everywhere he goes. I know that it's the greatest blessing. But they're all false senses of security. All it takes is a little bit of pain to show up that will chip away, that I can't put my trust in my job. I can't put my trust in my money. My wife is not the source of God in my life. My kids, man, I love my kids, but they can't satisfy my soul. And it's pain that shows up that purifies your priorities and your values and what your real source is. Because you can have all the money in the world and cancer hits your life. And you're like, I don't have enough money. You can have all the influence in your world in the world and your spouse needs a heart transplant. And it doesn't matter, the influence doesn't do no good. And the pain, it strips away. It's fire that comes upon us that gets rid of things that are taking the place of God in our life. I think of Job. Not Job, Charlie Ray. Job. It's an inside joke. Y'all don't understand. You can't talk about suffering in church and not talk about Job. Job is a guy who's got it all together. He's got everything. Go read his story. It's like 42 chapters. It's like a poem, but you got to really read it because the first chapter makes a lot of sense. The last chapter makes a lot of sense. And then in between, you're like, what is happening? But here's a guy who's got all this money. He's got wealth. He's got businesses. He's got a wife. He's got kids. And then one day, everything is taken from him. It's a crazy story, and many people believe that maybe this story is just an allegory, or maybe it's just a poem, or he's just a fictional character. But however, we're studying James chapter 1 today, and in James chapter 5, James, the brother of Jesus, he notes Job. And in fact, Ezekiel notes Job as well, which makes me believe that he's not a fictional character. He really lived, and he really went through the suffering. But the devil, the story goes, the devil comes to God and says, yo, you understand, like, if you removed your hedge of protection around your boy Job, that he would deny you, he would back down, he would not follow you any longer. And I love God. And he's like, nah, you can touch everything that he has, but you can't kill him. Whew. I'm not asking that for my life. It's amazing because all of us are here today and we're going, I long to stand before Jesus and have him here and hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. And some of you in this room, you might need to change your perspective around a little bit. Because maybe while you're going through the pain that you're going through this right now, is because God already sees you as a good and faithful servant. I think so often God has more trust in you than you have in God. That maybe he's allowing the pain to refine you, to purify your priorities. Job goes through this horrendous thing. And at the very end of it, if you know the story, it's a beautiful story, go read it. Because literally his latter was greater than his former. God gave him back double for everything that he lost. And it's an amazing, amazing miracle that God does. And I believe Job actually gets better in the process. Yeah, Job says something early as he starts to go through this pain. In Job chapter 1, he says, naked I came into the world, and naked I will leave. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes, but I will praise the name of the Lord. His priorities had been purified. He had no false sense of security. He lost his kids. His wife turned his back on him. His friends, they're showing up and they're saying, hey, you're going through this because you've sinned. See how we can go through suffering and our Christian friends want to come around and all they really need to do is just sit with us and encourage us, but instead they start judging us. And we do the same thing. May we never be that type of church. May we never be the people that when others are going through their valleys, that we continue to push them down. But may we be people that speak life into them and encourage them. That's why the Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 6. He says, in all of this, you greatly rejoice. There's the word rejoice. The idea of consider it pure joy. though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. We can't lay out all the trials in this room. We're all going through something. Verse 7, it says, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. True worshipers, they learn not just how to worship on the mountaintop, but they learn that their worship is most important when they're in the valley. There's purpose in your pain. Don't waste it. Don't go through it. Grow through it. God is shouting to purify your priorities. Secondly, I believe God is shouting, challenge your capacity. Challenge your capacity. Pain will challenge your capacity. Capacity simply means the ability to receive or to contain. And I love that definition, the ability to receive or to contain. Me and Cassidy, we have been blessed. This summer, me and Cassidy celebrated 10 years of marriage. 10 years, yeah. You're clapping because she's had to deal with me for 10 years. She's a saint. She's going to have a great crown in heaven because she's had to deal with me. Like, they're going to roll out the red carpet on the streets of gold up there. But we were blessed when we got married. Because the house that I grew up in, my mom and dad bought a new house and they left me the old house. So that's where me and her live now. And the thing is, it was fine for me and her. But now we have a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old and we're absolutely running out of room because we are being invaded by toys. And both of us, we will sit around and we'll talk about what we would love to do with the house. And we're like, we have no room. Jack has 300 monster trucks. We have no room. But the only way that our ideas can come to pass is that we have to make more space. And at this point, the only way to make more space in the house is that we're going to have to tear down some walls to expand the capacity. And what if I told you that God, he uses pain to simply break walls down in your life. And the only way that he can do that thing in your life, and the only way that you're going to be able to contain that thing in your life, and the only way that you can receive the blessing that he has for you, is he's got to knock some walls down, and he's got to build your capacity. And the only way he could build your capacity is he has to challenge it. Something's got to break. Something's got to give. Something's got to go. It's the only way that you could receive what he has for you. The only way that your capacity can grow is that it must be challenged. And that's what pain does. It challenges our capacity. And so many of us in this room, if you can get this revelation, your prayer life would change, because many of you are going, God, just stop the pain. God, just stop the trial. God, just stop the tribulation. God, just get rid of the pain, please. And I'm not making light of your situation, but I'm telling you, what if you change that up a little bit? What if there's a better prayer to pray? What if you said, God, make me stronger? God, give me more joy. God, build my capacity. I want to be capable to carry everything that you have for me. See, the reason that many of you, the reason why you cannot fulfill all that God has for you is because you're not capable to do it. And the reason why you're not capable to do it is because you don't have the capacity for it. And the only way your capacity can grow is that it has to be challenged. We are in the dead heat of summer. But I would rather it be 100 degrees than 32 degrees. I said what I said. I rest my case. I'm being booed off stage. My mom has a pool, and Jack, he loves to swim. He is a daredevil. He loves to swim, but a few summers ago, Cassidy took him to swim lessons. He was like 2 years old going to swim lessons. So now Now when he gets around the water, he's comfortable and he jumps into the water. And when he jumps into the water, he'll struggle a little bit and he lifts his little head up and he grins and he's breathing so hard. And then he goes back at it and doggy paddling, you know. And I think about it, how many of you, like my capacity to swim myself is bigger than his, because my capacity is bigger. Yet the only way Jack's capacity increases and grows is by challenging him, maybe holding his breath a little longer, swimming to a certain distance that's longer, going underwater when I throw him up in the air and he's like, you know, like a rag doll and he lands in the middle of the pool. It doesn't feel good. It's not comfortable. It's outside of his comfort. But hear me today. Everything about your life that God has for you is always outside of your comfort zone. Your comfort zone has everything except your calling. And it's the pain and it's the challenge that it expands my capacity. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, that when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith is developing perseverance. There's a developmental process. Perseverance means my capacity got bigger. I can handle more. And I love this little phrase. It says the definition of capacity is the ability to receive or to contain. I actually believe the definition that you choose to believe for your life is going to be the thing that is going to cap your capacity. Try to follow me for a moment. The world says, yes, yeah, I want to build my capacity so I can contain more for me. But the kingdom of God says, no, I want you to challenge and grow your capacity so that you can receive more, that it might be released to others. Listen to me. Your capacity grows the more you're able to release. It's releasing that gives you time for renovation. Because look, I can tear down walls in my house, but I can't do it until I take some stuff out of my house. And that's why the idea of tithing is so important. It's trusting God. I have 90%, you have 100%. I trust you more with that than I do with all 100%. It's releasing so that I can receive more. I'm challenging my capacity. Some of you in this room right now, the pain of releasing it is keeping you from growing your capacity. God wants you to release so that he can renovate. And it's painful, and it feels like fire, and the walls, they're coming down, and your ability to contain and to receive more, it grows. There's purpose in your pain. Don't waste it. And I believe lastly, Amanda, come on back. That God, he shouts at us and he shouts, expand your empathy. Pain will expand your empathy. Empathy is this idea that I'm able to put myself into someone else's shoes. I'm able to see something from their side. I'm able to see something from a new perspective. And I don't know what it is, but man, when you go through some pain, not only does it something to you, but man, you walk away and you have a new compassion for people. You see things different. Me and Cassidy, we have walked through some stuff in 2024 over the last year. And I remember when she gave birth to Maggie and last year, and she went into heart failure. And I remember all of those weeks sitting in the hospital waiting for a heart transplant, not knowing if it was ever going to come or if she was going to go home and meet the Lord. And of course, through all that, of course, my priorities were purified. All the false senses of security. Because now I can preach, I can lead people to Jesus, I can coach the greatest athletes on a softball field, and I can still be suffering. I hope I've got something that satisfies. I hope I've got something that sustains. I hope I've got something that's more than status. I hope I've got something more than a TikTok account or Instagram followers. I've got to have something more in the bank account, more than a bank account. Of course, my capacity was challenged. I never knew what it was like to lead when I was hurting. And if you want to lead, you got to know how to lead even when you're bleeding. Yet if you don't go through the pain of it, you'll just be swayed by your feelings. And I had to learn how to have confidence and how to have a boldness, even when there were so many areas of my life that was so uncertain and so confused. It was expanding my capacity. God was going, I think he's capable of more. I think I can trust him with more. I think I can do more through him. His capacity is bigger. And I could talk to you about all these things, but one thing that it did when we went through that is it expanded our empathy. You know, until we went through that, until we went through what we went through, I would have never had the idea of hurt and the pain until you actually walk in those shoes. Because everything you say is just cliche and soundbite, and it feels inauthentic, and it feels like you don't actually know what it means to be genuine. But when you go through the trial, when you go through the fire, you say, man, I know where you're coming from. I'm sorry. I'm here for you. And what it does is that it makes us a better servant of God. Because I'm called to serve God, but we're also called to serve each other. Some of us are trying to hear God's voice, and he's like, no. I'm having you go through this season of suffering because I trust you right now, and I'm believing that you just don't have to go through it, that you're going to grow through it. And one of the ways that you're going to grow through it is your empathy is going to be expanded. I've been able to use my pain to help bring healing to people. And you see, God takes your pain and he builds a platform, because God doesn't speak in your pain. You ever notice that God will speak in so many others through their pain, based upon how we respond? There's something about a cancer patient that's got days to live, but then they decide to spend those days in worship. And you go, man, I see God. There's something about parents who have to bury their child. And it doesn't make sense, and it's not fair, and it's not right, and we don't get it. Yet when you look at them, and somehow they still have joy on their faces and tears streaming down, and they're saying, God, you are here. And it's like God has a megaphone, and he's saying, and he's shouting at us. Y'all stand. I'm about to be done. But what do you do when it feels like your suffering won't stop? What do you do when it feels like your pain doesn't have a point? What does it do when you feel like your weaknesses continue to worsen? I would challenge you today to surrender your pain over to God and let God create a platform. I'm reminded of the psalmist David as he says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Why do we need to be afraid? We don't have to be afraid because God goes with us. He walks with us through the valleys. The scripture says in Psalms that God is close to the brokenhearted. And I don't know what it is, but when you are in pain, according to God's word, it's like the proximity between you and God. I want you to hear me. God has never been closer. He gets close to your pain. He gets close to your heartache. If you're hurting, he's close. If you're disappointed today, he's close. If you feel alone, he's close. And it's in that closeness that you can hear his whisper. David said it in Psalm chapter 5, verse 1. He says, listen to my words, Lord. Consider my lament. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. hear my words, hear my lament. I love it how it says it in a different translation. It says, listen to my words, Lord, consider my sighing. Consider my sighing. You know, a sigh is like, man. Maybe you walked in the church today and your worship sounded like, we're still singing. Maybe when you said, let's pray, you went, maybe you heard the sermon title and you're like, oh my goodness. And I want to encourage you today that if we can hear his whisper, trust that God can hear our sigh. That when you don't have the words to say, when you don't have the strength to stand, when you feel like pain is going to overtake your life, you can stand firm that even in your sighing, even in your groan, even in your whisper, even if you don't have a shout, even if you don't have a praise on the inside of you, in that moment, God says, I hear you. I'm with you. I'm going to walk with you through this valley. There's purpose in your pain. Don't waste it. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. Father God, I thank you for every single person that's here today. And God, there are so many of us. We are walking through some sort of level of pain, disappointment, isolation, depression, anxiety, fear. We're walking through something. But God, you are with us. You've never left us. You're walking right there with us. You are closer than a brother. You are closer than we ever would have imagined. But God, today, I pray that you would meet us here. God, today, here's the altar call. Number one, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to come. Get to know him. It will change your life. A real relationship with Jesus will change your life. And number two, you could be walking with some pain in your life, some confusion, some heartache, some heartbreak, some disappointment. You feel alone. You feel isolated. You feel burdened. You feel tired. You feel weak. I'm going to ask you to come. That's the altar call. Very simple. When they start singing, I'm going to ask you to come. Come as they sing.
Thank you for listening to Remnant Church. Our service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would love for you to visit with us in person at 5134 Joe Frank Harris Parkway in Adairsville, Georgia. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.